Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Fantastic. Well, I'm very pumped to share the word this morning and to open up the story of Christmas. And so what I thought we would do today, given we're only 5 days out from Christmas, is just read through the Christmas story together. Does that sound all right? And so we're going to read a fair bit of scripture out of Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. The scriptures will be on the screen. But it's an amazing story, and it's a great, I think, 5 days out from Christmas is a great time to reflect on this story as we head into an exciting few days. And so this is what it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" We could preach on that all morning. It's an amazing, amazing verse. Let's continue in verse 11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven.'" Do you know in Latin that is "in excelsis Deo"? Any fans of Gloria in Excelsis Deo, the old hymn? Oh, I love it. I talked to Karen earlier this week and I said, "Karen, this scripture's in my message. Do you reckon we could sing it at church?" She's like, "Yeah, we can." So a little bit later, we're going to be singing that beautiful carol as we head on out of here. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived." The Christmas story. The title of my message this morning that I'm sharing is Eternal Peace. I'd love to ask God just to bless this time together. So, Lord, we just thank you so much that every time we open the scriptures that you reveal yourself to us. And we just thank you right now that each one of us will have a personal encounter with a living God, that you will meet us where we're at and you will show your goodness to us. And we thank you right now as we reflect on this beautiful story of the birth of our Lord Jesus, that we will be stirred to trust and to put our trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I generally and traditionally have loved to cut my own hair, right? What do you think? Can you tell, right? Everyone's like, "Yes, we can." I've hacked my hair, much to my mother's chagrin. I've hacked my own hair at different times and colored it, done all these sorts of stuff. And the reason is because basically when you go to a barber, you go to a hairdresser, I think they care too much about how I am perceived by others. They're like, look, I know what you asked for, but I think maybe like a nice fade is going to be better for you. You know, that's more acceptable in society. And I'm like, no, I want it to just be like hacked in, please. And then, and a hairdresser's like, I don't want to do that to your hair, please. Don't make me do this, right? I actually had one hairdresser friend who cut my hair and I said, oh, that's brilliant. Can I just grab your scissors for a second and just cut this great fringe? It was brilliant. Loved it. And she is like, don't you tell anyone that I cut your hair, please. And I'm like, fine, that's all good. I just love it, right? Because I know what I want. It's a bit weird. I feel most of myself when I've got weird hair, right? That's me. And even just like trying to get this bowl haircut that I have right now, I'm trying to explain to the barber, you know, just like straight. I just want it straight. I don't want any fades. I don't want any dips. I don't want it to, I just want you to just like put a bowl on my head, just get the scissors. We're good, right? And I said, have you seen the movie Dumb and Dumber? And they're like, yes. I'm like, you know the scene with the bowls? And he's like, ah. And I'm like, go for it, right? But you may not realize this, but the bowl cut's not a real recent phenomenon. It's actually been around for a little while. In fact, one of the characters of the story we just read actually sported a bowl cut. And it's not Jesus or Joseph, from what I believe, because that's not really a Jewish sort of haircut, but a gentleman by the name of Caesar Augustus. Now, this guy is an amazing guy, right? And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, I've got a picture of Caesar's bowl cut, just so you can, there it is, look at that. Look at that bowl cut. He is the OG man with the bowl cut. But the thing about Caesar Augustus, and the reason I wanted to draw your attention to him is because it's in this portion of scripture for a reason. Helps us understand what was going on around the time of Jesus' birth. So Caesar Augustus was the first Roman emperor. He was the original Roman emperor, and it is credited to him and his reign what is known as the Pax Romana, or the Roman Peace. He reigned from about 27 BC to 14 AD, but this Pax Romana lasted for approximately 200 years, and it was in that time in which the Roman Empire really grew, and this level of stability across the Roman Empire allowed the increase of trade and people to, you know, develop and art and culture and all those things to rise up because there was a relative peace. Now, this Roman peace was something that, to most people, you know, helped create stability. But when you look a little bit deeper, you scratch below the surface, you realize that the only way they could maintain this peace was to be ruthless. And, you know, we talk about Jesus being crucified and how that was a Roman capital punishment, a form of torture from the Romans. The reason they were so good at torturing people is to keep the peace, they had to squash any kind of dissent, any kind of rebellion. Anyone who rose up needed to be made an example of, lest they ruin the peace that was going to be the savior of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Emperor and the Roman Emperors that followed Caesar Augustus were ruthless in that way. You know, this is a sort of first century picture of peace. Sort of glorious, right? Sort of all peace, we're all good. But below the surface, a lot of people are being oppressed. You know, the Pax Romana, when you look at it, was an external peace. It was a peace that existed sort of on a surface level. It existed, you know, when it came to the things and the circumstances surrounding people. And is it wrong to desire peace around you? I don't think so. I think that's something that is great. Who would just love if everything around them just worked out, everything was peaceful, you could plan, you know, the week, the year ahead, you know, you could just see far down the path, you didn't have to worry, there was a great sense of stability. But the challenge with external peace is that external peace is always under threat. And if you have built your life on external peace alone, then you need to maintain that external peace at all costs, lest you the peace fall apart and your life with it falls apart too. Can you see how if your life is built purely on external peace, you have to maintain it, which is why we saw such crazy actions by the Romans in those times. Because they knew if this Pax Romana is broken, it is the end of our empire. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Do you know, we're blessed to live in the country that we do and have the level of stability that we have. It's an amazing thing to have grown up in Australia at this time in history. But I think, you know, 2020 has shown us that external peace isn't something we can be taken for granted. You know, it's not a given. It's not something that we, it's not something that we just get without trying. This external peace that we've experienced for so long has been shaken by the fact that no matter what country you live in, no matter what part of the world you're from, whether you're from a developed nation or a developing nation, that we have all been affected by something that is so significant. And I think possibly one of the things that has rattled people the most this season is the fact that that external peace that many of us and many people have built their lives upon has been shaken. And realizing that the things that I always thought, you know, would sort of help me to be what I, who I need to be and see what I need to see start to be shaken. And that makes people uneasy. You know, anyone who has suffered great personal tragedy will know that when tragedy comes close to you, it really rocks the whole boat. You know, there's not much of your life that isn't impacted by that moment. And I think collectively the world has had a moment like that where it's like, whoa, things aren't as stable as we thought that they were. We have a world in 2020 that has somewhat experienced this same thing. Do you know, external peace is only ever temporary. External peace is only ever temporary. And this Pax Romana, this peace, it did last for a while, but ultimately it didn't last. And it is into this external peace, this world that seemed to have peace that was maintained by bloodshed and control, it was into that external peace that Jesus inserted himself into human history. And what Jesus brought with him when he came into history was not an external peace that was temporary, but an eternal peace that was upheld by God himself. See, the external peace was maintained through a human leader and through the rules of the Roman Empire and through the reign of different people. But the peace that Jesus brings to us is a gift that is maintained by God himself. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, the peace that comes from Jesus is unlike any peace that can be offered by man. The word peace used here is arana in Greek, which means the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to salvation. I love this definition of, in Thayer's Greek lexicon, of the biblical usage of this word, and this is what it says. It says, "This peace is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is." The peace that Jesus offers us is not just an external peace. It's actually a peace with God himself. No matter how seemingly sound the empire that we belong to may seem, it is ultimately only ever temporary. And you know what? The peace that Jesus gives is eternal. And this is the Christmas message. When you boil it down, what's the Christmas message? The Christmas message is that there is a world that lacks this peace with God. And into history, God himself intervenes so that mankind can be brought back into peace with their Heavenly Father. Jesus came. He had a single purpose. He became man so that he could take on the sin of the world, and that when he would die ultimately on one of those Roman crosses that they used to keep the peace, that death would die with him, and all who believed in him would inherit eternal life. This is why Jesus came. This is why he was born. And so ultimately the Christmas message is simply, God has come to reconcile people back to himself. I might ask Jez just to come up now. You know that once, while we were alienated from God, the God of peace, we have been offered reconciliation with God through the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you know, once we have this internal peace, come what may, it cannot be taken from us. The peace that comes from Jesus is eternal, and that's what makes it distinct from this external peace that other people are looking for. Do you know, when I think about the peace that a Christian can have, I think about the story of Paul and Silas. And if you know the story, basically they're spreading the gospel, they're sharing the good news, and they get arrested. They get locked up. They are in chains. Their liberty, their freedom is literally stripped from them. They are persecuted for the life that they're living, and they find themselves in a prison. Now, if you look at their life externally, it is far from peace. It is, in fact, the opposite of peace. Everything that you think you would want has been taken away from you. But it is in that place of external oppression that they begin to sing. Why can people in a prison sing praises to their God? Because it doesn't matter what's going on around them, the peace that is within them cannot be taken from them. You can't take my peace. No person can take it. You know what I mean? No situation can take it. This peace is deep. You know, I think about the amazing follower of Jesus called Stephen. And he's basically the first martyr that we know of that is spoken about in the Bible. And he stands up to an angry mob and declares the gospel message, the goodness and the news of Jesus Christ. And because of that, as he is doing that, he actually gets stoned to death. You know, I often use Stephen as somebody I look to for inspiration when I feel like the things around me aren't going as I think they should. Because have you ever thought about this? Stephen was perfectly in the will of God when he was stoned to death by an angry mob. And sometimes we think, you know, well, if I'm following God, shouldn't everything around me work out? Where is God if the things around me aren't going as I think they should? Remember Stephen, a man who trusted God and cared more about the internal and the eternal peace than what was going on around him. You couldn't take that peace from Stephen. He's like, you know, whether I live or die, I've got this peace with my God. I am at peace internally. Do you know, Stephen being the first Christian martyr that we know of, on average, every single day, 11 people around our globe are killed for their Christian faith. 11 people today will die because they are believers in Jesus. Do you know, sometimes we sit in our environment and it's easy to be focused on the negative things going on in our world, the challenges we face, maybe the sickness in our bodies or the issues within our family or some of the tension in society, and they can become so overwhelming. But do you know there's a peace that can go so far beyond our external circumstances that even people who today are facing death remain at peace? Do you know, there's a lady called Jackie Pullinger. Some of you guys would have heard about her. And in the 60s, she experienced the love of God and the peace of God in a way that absolutely transformed her. And because of this great peace, she just was like, I've got to share this with someone. And she felt led by the Holy Spirit to go to Hong Kong, particularly to a place called the Wall City. Now, the Wall City was so loose and so wild that even the police wouldn't venture there. It was sort of a law unto its own. It was run by triads, there was drugs and, you know, crazy abuse going on. And this lady, single lady, just gets on a boat from England and goes there and starts to share the love of Jesus, starts to tell people the good news. And one by one, triad leader after drug abuser, after prostitute, after person who's been broken and hurt, come to know the Lord. And over decades of her ministry in that area of the walled city, ultimately the walled city no longer exists because of the work of the Holy Spirit through this woman. How can somebody walk into an external circumstance that lacks so much peace? There is nothing about that situation that is peaceful. It's not safe. Nothing about it is what you would expect to live in, right? But in the middle of that, the peace that she had rose up and transformed lives. Do you know, I remember reading this story about a prison ministry, and they were going into a prison and sharing the gospel, and one of the people in that prison, a murderer who was in for life, received Jesus and was transformed, and obviously has a lot of time, and so devoted himself to studying God's word and to, you know, committing himself to becoming who God's called him to be. And so he ultimately rose up within the prison as a pastor, and he became the pastor in that prison who was leading prisoners to Jesus. And do you know what? His external circumstances didn't change. He was still in prison. You know, the crime he had committed was still yet to be like out, you know, the punishment for that was yet to be outworked, but he had come alive. And the peace that he had wasn't about the circumstances around him. And one by one, dozens after dozens of people gave their life to Jesus in the middle of a prison because a man understood that it's not my external circumstances that I find peace in. It's the internal work of Jesus and what he did when he came that makes me at peace. And I don't know what it is you're going through. Maybe it's chemotherapy. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's sickness or relational breakdown. Maybe it's financial hardship. But whatever it is that's going on around you, you need to know that the peace that you have in Christ, that peace that is internal, that peace that is eternal, can never be taken from you. This peace is a peace which exists outside of your external world. Your circumstances can't rob you of it. The past can't rob you of it. COVID can't rob you of it. A health diagnosis can't rob you of it. Your financial challenges, a relationship status, the loss of a job, someone's mean words on Facebook, you know, an issue in your family can't take this peace. And you know, as I think about, you know, being only a few days out from Christmas, there's a lot going on externally that you can't control. You know, whether it be the situation in the world and even in our city now, there are things around us that don't look particularly peaceful. Maybe in your family, Christmas is one of those times that, you know, the family gets together and there's a lot of clashes relationally. There's a lot of things that you can't sort of solve externally. But what we need to remember as we go into Christmas is what Christmas is all about. And that is that peace on earth for those on whom His favor rests. And for every single person who has discovered that peace, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to have the peace of God that supersedes and extends beyond your practical circumstances. And the good news that brings great joy to all people is that there is peace on earth to those in whom His favor rests. You know what I'd love to do this morning, just, you know, in this part of our service, is actually just take a minute to remember that we have this peace which goes beyond our circumstances. To take our eyes off what's going on around us and to remember that what God has done in us is eternal. And, you know, death, oh death, where is your sting? Whether or not, you know, anything should happen to me, what I have is eternal. Can I just ask, wherever you are, if you would, just to stand for a moment. And I'd love you just to close your eyes and posture your heart towards God and just invite Jesus right now. Right now, just to speak with you, to minister to you, to meet with you. You know, some of the circumstances that people are facing are very real. And a lot of these circumstances are outside of your control. And we think, maybe if I can just get my life in order, then I'll find the peace that I'm looking for. But the truth is that external peace is only temporary, but the peace Jesus offers you is so much better than anything you could find externally. And so what I want to do right now is I want to pray for our church, but before I do, I want to pray for individuals, people in this room who you're hearing me right now talk about this peace, but you've never experienced it. You're hearing me talk about something that is bigger than the world around you, that is happening inside you, and you've never seen that. Or maybe for you, it's been so long since you've walked at peace with God. Right now, before we move into this next moment of just letting God do His thing, I would love to pray for anyone and with anyone who in this room is like, I need that peace. I need that peace. You know, God did the work. Jesus came. He died on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. And all it takes is for you to believe and to place your trust in Him. And if this morning you would say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Would you take away my sin and bring me back into relationship with my Heavenly Father? You will experience peace with God. And it's a peace that is eternal. Just while eyes are closed, I'd love you to pray this prayer from your heart. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And especially if you really feel this is important for you this morning, pray this from your heart to God. Let's all pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you for Christmas, the story of God coming into the world to make a way that we might be right with Him. This morning I receive your forgiveness for my sin, past, present, and future, and I accept the eternal peace that you offer. I declare you Lord, I declare you my Savior. From this day forward, walk with me, talk to me, and live in me, in Jesus' name. So our eyes are closed. Maybe for you, you felt that prayer meant something from you, like you prayed it from your heart. You know, I just really believe that this Christmas is going to be different for you. if this morning you really felt you needed to pray that and just like with faith believe it, this is going to be a different Christmas for you. It's a Christmas of internal peace. A Christmas that regardless of what's going on around you, you're going to have something that is so much deeper, stronger, that can never be shaken. I'd actually love to pray for you if you did pray that prayer right then and meant it from your heart, like this was a big moment for you. I've just, while everyone's eyes are closed, I've just asked a couple of people to help me here so I don't miss anyone, but everyone else's eyes are closed. If that was you and you prayed that in that moment to believe for that peace, can you just give us a wave so I know who to pray for right now? If that's you, you prayed that prayer, yeah, right at the back there, amazing. You prayed that prayer and you meant it, you prayed it from your heart. Wow, who else this morning? Just before I pray for these beautiful people, God, I just thank you so much for those who this morning are discovering your peace, the eternal peace, a peace which is not circumstantial, it's not based on what's happening around us, God. It is a peace that is eternal. And I thank you, Jesus, that this Christmas would mean so much more to them as they discover your peace in the midst of their world. For everyone else that's here, we're just going to sing a beautiful carol. And I would just encourage you to remember, there's a lot of things going on in our world that would love to take our attention. But there is one thing that we should do, and that is to worship Him and to remember that regardless of what's happening around me, what He has done in me is eternal. Let's thank God for His peace and let's take a moment to worship Him.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.